We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
This time we do the rundowns. Go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right. SEC Media Days are, I guess, I think they're done. I think they're wrapping up. I mean, it's not really like we've talked about before. It's not the event it once was, right? They moved it out of, Hoover in the hotel mall. Yeah. And now it's all, you know, it's like anything else. It loses its character.
They brought it to Texas because of, obviously, Texas and Oklahoma joining the league. So they were down in Dallas this week.
Yeah, and it just loses its character. You know, like, you just don't. I saw a picture of, like, the, you know, when you come down the escalators, right? And I saw the picture of the waiting area. There were two fans.
Oh.
There were two fans.
Well, people got to work, John. I mean,
saying that they used to have to work in Alabama too.
Well, they don't work as hard as Alabama apparently, because there's an ass ton of fans, and a lot of them, these hillbillies have, not to stereotype, but these guys have, and ladies have, like, mascot heads on.
They lived for it.
You know, you got every Joe Blow from Tupelo to Corinth, right, in the joint.
It used to be a thing, and now it's like just for networks, basically. Like, I don't even know how much media actually goes.
It's TV content, and then, yeah. Well, you have all these reporters who want to get a free trip. You know, they've never done anything like this, so they go there and they interview. Mike Slive might get in front of him or something like that.
It's Greg Sankey, but
oh yeah,
that was a day to give him. Mike Slive,
whichever conference commissioner that you choose, this one be
I do appreciate
Sankey.
I do appreciate the Mike Slive reference, though.
Thank you.
He actually died.
He passed.
He died,
former commissioner.
He died in 2018.
Sorry about that.
I don't think I knew that he passed.
Oh yeah.
But yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to refer to the old commissioner.
He was the commissioner there as recently as 2015. It's been, I think, Greg Sankey ever since. But
well, sometimes, you know, they're dying off.
That's what happens, man. Yeah. More and more every day.
Happens.
But in the SEC, we have our first preseason poll, and our only preseason
poll.
That's fun. Not shockingly, Georgia is the favorite. I believe it's only the third time that they've been the SEC favorite since 1992. So that is sort of significant in and of itself. Who would you guess was ranked number two?
Alabama.
Alabama would be your guess, that they were picked
or
number
Texas?
Two? Alabama was not picked number two.
Okay.
It was, in fact, Texas at number two.
Texas.
Alabama was third.
Yeah,
I would love to know the last time Alabama was picked third in the SEC or worse.
Yeah, I mean, you just figured. I do think that the Nick Saban leaving is the reason why that they would be picked third, although I think they should be second or first. But I'm a DeBoer guy now. I've changed on this. If I had to predict, which is what we do all day, I would predict he's going to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alabama's probably a spot too low.
Yeah.
Although I do know people who are high on Texas.
People like Texas a lot. They like Ole Miss too.
Ole Miss is. I'll just go before we get into.
Let's just go through the
ruminations of the team.
There you are.
Go through it. Georgia, Texas, Bama, Ole Miss, LSU, Missouri, Tennessee 7th, Oklahoma 8th, A&M 9th, Auburn 10th, Kentucky 11th, Florida 12th. Florida at 12. How about that? Ooh. South Carolina 13th, Arkansas, Mississippi State 15th, and then Vanderbilt obviously at 16th.
Oh man, Mississippi State. Man, we're down there.
But here's what's odd. Yeah. Vanderbilt got 2 first place votes. So that, I mean, was that just people trolling? Like, was that people trying to be
That's
funny?
That's stupid.
They got
That's
2
the
first
beat
place
writer.
Votes.
That's dumb.
The beat writer should know better than anybody that Vanderbilt's not finishing first.
You see this every one of these things that like that they vote. That's so disingenuous.
I mean, Vanderbilt finishing first. First is outrageous.
That's ridiculous. That's outrageous.
You
should be fired from your job if you vote Vanderbilt.
I would love to see the names on this. I would. I would. Indeed like to see it. But look, I think Alabama is probably a little too low at 3. I think I'd probably have them second.
Yep.
They got 12 first place votes to Texas 27. Mm-hmm. So that is the difference. Both Texas and Alabama are returning their starting quarterbacks from a year ago. And if Quinn Ewers goes down, they do have a Manning in the quarterback room.
Heard about him.
To replace him, which is amazing. I mean, that is amazing to have 2 NFL quarterbacks in the same room.
I mean, if it's a good problem to have.
In this day and age.
Well, and it speaks to the confidence I think Manning has in himself.
Well, I mean, you know, look, here's the thing. Here's what.
A lot of confidence.
Here's what Arch has going for him. He has a lot of confidence, and he also doesn't need money.
That's a helpful thing.
So when you,
if he needed the money, he would not be there. That's 100%, clear,
100%.
You know,
I mean,
that.
Like if he was a guy that was just like an average sort of, you know, comes from an average family, but happened to be a 5-star prospect.
Yep.
There's no way he's still there.
I'll take this a step further. I'm shocked Seth Hennigan is still at Memphis because it all but eliminates a bigger opportunity to go to the NFL, and that is not me trying to disrespect Memphis. He could easily go to the camp and kick ass, but like. It does lower your odds of NFL opportunities.
I don't know. I don't know if I would. I'm not going to go there.
I mean, if you were in the SEC, he'd have a better chance at getting a higher pick if he's going to go to the NFL.
I mean, it didn't prevent Paxton from going the first round.
Well, we saw it happen.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't work
Video
out.
Video games got him.
It didn't work out, but I'm just saying, like, your opportunities at Memphis for, you know, like, Memphis is going to be on TV.
Well, the other thing about Paxton, though, is he looked like a friggin' gazelle. He was, you know, 6'7" or 8 or 9.
I think where I would agree with you is that it's an easier eval. It's an easier eval of a quarterback if he's playing in the SEC versus the AAC, right?
Yep.
Because it is harder to sort of imagine, all right, well, he's doing this against these teams and these defenses, but what would he do against those? Like, I find that, like, when we were talking about, you know, for example, C.J. Stroud, right? And we were talking about him before he got drafted. Obviously, we weren't breaking any kind of ground here when we said that C.J. Stroud was going to be a great quarterback.
Right.
But the reason why we felt good about C.J. Stroud is because he put up a great game against Georgia. That Georgia defense featured
NFL dudes.
Like 6 first-round defensers. Like, right? Like,
it was basically all NFL dudes.
That was an NFL defense that he was up against, and it was his best game ever. Not to say that the Big Ten isn't.
Right.
Like, they have a lot of great defenses, but it just meant a little more to see him do it on that stage. And so I was not really worried about, you know, his ability to translate to the next level. It's, you know, Bryce Young, same thing. That doesn't, like, Johnny Manziel, you know, didn't, you know, I don't think that was
I actually
the SEC,
thought of, I was thinking about him at A&M. Yeah, you're
was
right.
Was that SEC?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, they had
Alabama tape. Yeah, he was, remember him running through Alabama?
But that wasn't, he didn't succeed, he didn't not succeed in the NFL because of his ability. It's because he was distracted, right? Like, he wasn't a professional.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he signs his trading cards, never gave a bleep, still don't. You know, like, that's Johnny Manziel, and that's the experience,
rough.
Right?
Yeah.
So, that, you know, I tend to weigh SEC performances, like what Jackson Dart does this year, what Carson, I mean, Carson Beck's the number one, you know, quarterback in some people's drafts next year.
Yeah.
You know, and look, that can cut both ways because Mac Jones played in the SEC and he also had an unbelievable receiving corps. He had Jalen Waddle. He had Devontae Smith.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like he had the best weapons you could ever hope to have, and that kind of masked it for him. Now, is it possible that Mac Jones just had a bad situation in New England? Is it possible that he didn't have weapons? Is it possible that Bill Belichick was completely checked out and just didn't care?
Right.
And just assumed that anybody should be Brady if they step into that position? Absolutely, it's possible. And we'll see. Like, he's a backup in Jacksonville now. We'll see where it goes from here. I don't think it's harder to get drafted out of Memphis, but I would say it's harder to...
I'm talking about the quarterback position especially.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, I get it. But I just, if a guy is awesome at Memphis and he's got the physical tools, he's getting drafted in the top 10. I mean, the guy, Trey Lance was at whatever it was, North Dakota State, and he was third.
Yep.
You know, so again, that doesn't mean that you'll be successful, but it does mean that you're gonna have it, you know, you can catch a couple of flights to get to Memphis if you're an NFL scout and
well,
see
and
that
I think that's why that FSU game is so important for a guy like your quarterback at Memphis, because you're gonna get a chance to see what he's like against some of these ACC dudes.
For sure. I mean, and I think that's, look, he already did it against Missouri.
Yep.
But I agree with that. Like, I think, you know, and we're talking about the SEC preseason poll, but you know, I do agree that if I'm an NFL general manager and I'm trying to pick the most important position for my team, it is. It's more difficult. I have to sift through and really determine and decipher.
Your butt is on the line making this decision.
Because, yeah, dude, you put up 350 against Temple.
Yep.
That's great, right?
Yeah.
Temple's terrible.
Right.
All these teams are terrible. And you know, and again, it does work to the inverse when you're in a Power Five and you have Power Five weaponry.
Yes.
I have to determine how much of that was them versus how much of that was you.
Yep.
You know, so, and I think with Paxton in particular, I mean, dude, we can ask Gabe at 4 o'clock.
Sure.
Like, the reality of the situation is his offense was, he was babysat.
Mm-hmm.
He was babysat in a one-read offense. He made one read. He never had a change of play at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Like, and he had the physical tools. He had the arm to make the throw.
Yeah, throw the ball in the corner to Miller.
But let me tell you else who had. Let me tell you who else had a great arm. Jamarcus Russell. He could throw that thing 65 yards on one knee. That ain't enough in the NFL to have a great arm. You got to have a great mind. You got to have a great focus. You got to have a great memory.
Oh,
I
saw. I've seen this now when you do those quarterback rooms.
Yeah, like, and you're asking guys to, like, you know, basically recite the alphabet backwards and then repeat it back.
Right.
And then, you know, it's like you're taking a damn sobriety
it's
test.
It's facts. Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And I couldn't pass a sobriety test sober.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I've thought about that. I'm like, if a cop pulled me over and they asked me to walk in a straight line and recite the ABCs backwards, there's no chance I could do it.
The interesting thing, because you were talking about SEC Media Days, I'll bring this back for a second, because this morning, Hugh Freeze, they were doing a lot of the Hugh Freeze breakdowns because he spoke yesterday. Apparently, Hugh is going to do the play calling again because he's sick and tired of watching somebody else do the play calls at Auburn. So he thinks that Peyton Thorne's going to be good with his play calling. I'm really interested to see that. I know some friends of Peyton Thorne, and obviously he was at Michigan State, and then he came to Auburn.
Yeah.
But, like, somebody like that will get a lot of opportunities.
Oh, he'll get a lot of opportunities.
You know, and that's sort of where I'm going with it. You know?
I'm not sold.
How do you think? Where's Auburn on that list? I didn't see what they were at.
They're 10th.
God darn.
Yeah, they're 10th.
I mean, that's tough. Auburn fans ain't going to like that.
Yes, Georgia, Texas, Bama, Ole Miss. I'm excited.
I am too.
I'm excited
I'm ready,
about college
buddy.
Football.
I am so ready. We put the schedule together for Tennessee.
Yeah.
I did put in the schedule. Alabama, Georgia is the bye week of Tennessee. So we're going to actually air that game, but that's going to be a big one. That's September 28th is the Bama Georgia game.
College football is a fun ass time, man. It is a fun
so
ass
good.
Time. But that's the
Do you like it better than pro?
No.
You do not.
NFL is my favorite. You should know this about me by now.
I know it's because of the, yeah.
NFL
really
is my favorite.
What, college two?
I think it's the I'll have college basketball two.
Okay,
and then I would have college football three, and then I have NBA four.
All right,
and the NBA only because it's so hit or miss in terms of meaning, right?
Yep.
Like, some games matter, and then some games don't.
Yeah.
And I hate that. I hate.
If we didn't have the Grizzlies, I'll tell you this, would not be a big NBA pick.
No way.
It's all about our local team.
No
Having
way.
The Grizzlies changed my life.
Yes.
You know? But like, if we didn't have the Grizzlies, there's no chance I'd be watching random, you know, NBA
Tuesday
games.
Night basketball.
There's just no chance.
No, look, I mean, again, if you tell me, right, that this game matters to both teams
right.
in the NBA, I'm in. I'm all in.
Okay.
I'm all in. Come on. I mean, it's great.
Right.
You know, I'm sitting here watching Summer League, bro.
Right.
I'm in here. I'm watching every damn Summer League game,
right?
Okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could tell you, you know, anything you want to know. I watched the Lakers game again last night. Mm-hmm. Another win. Two straight.
Let's go.
Bronny had another.
Hey, Bronny looked pretty good last night.
Getting comfy. Getting comfy over there.
Watch out.
Dalt Connect had a big game.
I saw it.
He looked great.
Yep.
He
looks the part.
Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem about Dalt Connect. I guess we'll get to this. But I'll tell you about the problem with Dalt Connect in a little bit.
So I got your rankings then.
But yes, NBA 4. But again, it's a good 4, though. It's not like it's not like there's a huge drop-off.
Baseball be like in the basement, not even just worse than golf.
I'll go to a baseball game live.
Yeah.
I'd love it. I'd love baseball. I would go to a baseball game. Well, I don't want to. I probably would not go to a baseball game over a college football game. But yeah. I would happily attend a baseball game.
Better than golf, like attendance-wise?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I don't enjoy golf.
Like, you're not just going out here to the FedEx St. Jude championship.
I know they do a great job. Yeah. I'm not the guy that wants to walk in the gallery following this swamp-ass golfer. Like,
I forgot about the swamp pants.
Yeah, like, I'm not into that.
I gotcha.
But anyway, Georgia, no surprise, picked first in the SEC media preseason poll. Texas 2, Alabama 3.
Next story.
Well, we got it. We got it. A lot of people have been waiting on it. A lot of people have asked. Mm-hmm. They have prayed for this day. They have gone and they have laid in their beds and they have prayed for this day.
I know what you're going
to
say.
They wanted to know and they prayed for the day that the Grizzlies would be able to unload Zaire Williams. This is something that's been in the works for years and years and years, and it has happened.
What?
The Grizzlies.
Oh, it did? Is this breaking news?
The Grizzlies have officially gotten off of Zaire Williams.
Oh! This is like better than the Rudy Gay moment. Holy crap. This is big breaking news.
The Grizzlies are trading Zaire Williams and a 2030 second round pick to the Brooklyn Nets for Mamadi Diakite. Now, what can you tell me about Mamadi Diakite?
I can't tell you D about Dumani Tutupipi. Who is that? Who the hell is Who is this guy?
You're an idiot.
No, who's the guy from Brooklyn? Is he a summer league?
No, that's him, Mamadi Diakite.
His game?
I think he went to Virginia.
Come on,
he
bro.
He did. He went to Virginia. I remember him. He had like the Cisco hair. That's what I remember about him. He had the blonde hair.
I see the picture now. Yeah, I mean, I recognize him.
He's a big.
Who gives a... Oh, well, we do need a big. Is he a backup big? Is he that good?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a backup big.
Well, that's a good thing. This is a good trade then.
Yeah, you got off Zaire Williams, and you consolidated that.
And a piece you need, and you didn't give up much.
I'm not sure you're going to get anything out of him.
Don't do that.
He played, you know... For the Brooklyn Nets, the New York Knicks last year, they appeared in 3 games, averaged 2 minutes. Like, he's just, I don't know. They may even, I don't know what they're going to do with him. I have no idea. They may even, if they buy him out, I don't know.
No.
But they got off of Zaire Williams'
I didn't think
deal.
They'd be able to. I thought they'd have to eat that whole deal. I mean, he was a number 9 overall pick, by the way. Might I remind you?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously,
10th overall.
That's the big thing is you're getting off the Zaire Williams salary, you know, and you're getting off of his deal, and you know, you're freeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could that mean like a Luke deal gets done now, right? Maybe they were waiting on that.
Maybe
I don't know. Obviously, but look, it is unfortunate. I guess that's the upshot here, right? And
yeah.
I will wait for Whom the Bell Tolls. That's Harrington's music. Waiting on the Harrington wisdom to come down and tell me
give
what the hell this means.
Give it a more esoteric view of this.
I need my esoteric view immediately,
yeah,
Harrington.
I heard that.
But
us some brief analysis on the dumpage of Williams.
It's more so about why it didn't work. I mean, right. Zaire was a guy who he was a swing. He was a swing for the front office. I mean, they traded Jonas Valanciunas away. They got the number 10 pick from the New Orleans Pelicans. And I get it. He, in theory, sort of was what the NBA was going toward. You know, the long, rangy, big wing that can hit threes, right? That's and he showed flashes. He showed flashes as a rook. You would definitely say that. But it just never materialized. It never materialized for him altogether. And, you know, I don't know whether that was because of injury, whether it was because of whatever the case may be. But, you know, he had that playoff series as a rookie where he made some shots. You're like, okay, this could project. And, you know, for whatever reason, it just never did.
The embarrassing part of that is we didn't get Trey Murphy, who ended up in New Orleans with that. That's why that's an embarrassment.
Yes, it is. It is because, you know, honestly, Trey Murphy would be the perfect fit at the three right now.
God, if you had strategically landed Trey Murphy and he went at 17, like, and that's a miss.
Yes. It is a miss. There is no doubt. It is a big miss.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, in terms of the sins of the Grizzlies front office, there are a lot more great things they've done.
I don't want to take anything away from it. I will say, I think when you see a guy like Zach Edey drafted this year, I think, not that you're going to have times where you don't take swings on guys like this, but I think that they're lower level risks, second round swings, like Gigi was late. You know, you don't have to use the number 9 or the number 10 pick on a guy who you don't think is a hooper, you know?
Well, they thought he was.
He was, I mean, the kid was 18, you know, 19 years old.
Yeah.
Had not performed at Stanford.
Right, that's
the thing. He
looked
like dog crap.
That's
like, there was no good tape on him.
That is the problem. It's like you were just sort of, you were taking a risk on a guy that had not shown all that much, you know,
there was no good tape
on him. Stanford.
Yeah, and it was COVID time.
Exactly.
Coming out of that, he just didn't show.
I mean, he had a triple-double at Stanford, you know. But he only averaged 10 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Like, he just was not really that decorated. And again, I understand because a guy like that, you know, 6'9", who can shoot the ball, in theory, that's exactly what you want in the league.
Yep.
But I don't know. Without being in that locker room, without necessarily knowing, you know, why it didn't click, but it didn't. I mean, look, that first year, you know, as a rookie in the playoffs, he started a game.
Yeah.
You know, he averaged 7 points a game as a rookie in the playoffs. He averaged 8 points a game as a rookie that season, started 31 games. You know, I mean, for a rookie, that's fine.
That's fine.
You can build on that, right? They didn't necessarily need him. I guess they kind of would hope and hope that he'd be a star, but he didn't have to be that. If he was just good, that would have been okay.
Right.
But for whatever reason, man, he came back the next season, only started 4 games. And shot 26% from three.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just became a situation where, you know, you were just begging somebody to take him off your hands.
Yeah.
And the Nets are fully committed to the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes, and so they have done it.
I would take this front office 5 out of 5 times despite this. I will say they're only really, I guess, like 2 misses, really. It'd be this one. And then the Justice Winslow miss. Those are the 2 big ones.
Yeah, and you know, look, Justice Winslow was so low risk that, you know.
Yeah, you were taking a flyer, and I think they dumped Andre in that trade. They
I don't even remember the particulars. I don't even remember.
That was the Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala trade. 6 players.
Right. Because I don't even remember what James Wiseman did in terms of the NCAA stuff. Like, it all right, kind of like,
together.
I forget.
Right.
You know, I mean, I just, you have so many things going on in the world.
Sure.
I just can't remember what we did with Justice Winslow. But I just remember it being relatively low risk, right? So I feel like when you hit on a guy like Desmond Bain at 30, when you hit on a guy like Gigi in the second round at 45, you know, when you hit on a guy like, you know, I would say Santi is a relative hit,
mm-hmm.
you know,
no, I think it's
late in the first round. Not to the degree of Desmond Bane and Gigi Jackson.
Bane is the biggest home run they've ever hit.
Oh, I mean, to get him at 30.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, you know, an all-star caliber shooting guard. That,
ridiculous.
Yes, it is. And so I think that gives you, like, you're allowed to miss.
Sure.
They swung here on Zaire. They struck out. And life goes on. You know, I think Edie's going to wind up being a great pick at 9.
I agree with that.
So I think they typically have a good idea of what they're doing.
Agree.
You know, when it comes to draft picks, and you know, so I tend to trust them here. There was a time when I was like, you know, your arch type, you know, you guys are getting a little too in the weeds with the analytics. There was a time where I thought that. I don't think that as much anymore. I think Zaire was an analytic pick. I think that was definitely
agree.
And I kind of hate picks like that. You know, now I will say this. If you go back and look, and yes, Trey Murphy is definitely the one, but if you go back and look at that draft, I mean, there were a lot of busts.
Yeah.
There were a lot of busts.
There's no question about it. I mean, it was a tough one.
You know, I mean, we can just go through it here. James Bouknight went 11.
Bombed.
Josh Primo.
Miss.
Showing his penis.
Miss.
Yeah. Chris Duarte. Moses
Miss.
Moody. Corey Kispert.
Miss.
Sengun at 16th. Amazing pick.
Yep.
Amazing pick. But he was a center, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Grizzlies weren't going to draft a center. Trey Murphy at 17.
That's a hit.
Which, you know, again, that's
and you were there.
That's the team you traded with.
You were. That was your position.
That's the team you traded with. So that one is that one hurt.
That stings a little bit.
But look, I mean, like Jalen Johnson went 20th.
Yeah.
Jalen Johnson you could have gotten.
Yeah.
That one hurts. But outside of that, man, I don't see any players here that realistically the Grizzlies could have. I mean, you're talking about three guys possibly.
Yeah.
That two guys, maybe. That you could have drafted instead.
I mean, this stuff is super hard. I would, you know, I know these guys get paid big bucks, but like outside of the first round is probably where you want to make your swings on your Spencers and your GG Jacksons.
Well, yeah,
and,
because, I mean, know. But again, at 10, you know, with where the Grizzlies were, it actually made sense to take a swing.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, I thought Jaren was a ridiculous pick at the time, and that mm-hmm. I was wrong about that. You know, like many fans were not happy because he did not have a great. His Michigan State resume was not amazing, but he ran like a gazelle and was tall, projected to be over 7 foot tall, could probably shoot, you know?
Yep.
Zaire, he didn't grow. He's basically, what is he, 6'10", 6'9"?
Yeah.
So he's not over 7 feet tall. The shot has been inconsistent. You know what was really fun watching him? When I think back on the good moments, and that's what I like to do, like he had a lot of those lobs at the rim where he'd sort of hovercraft in the paint, and then Ja would find him, and he'd, you know, he had some really good plays in some of those playoff series.
Yep.
But other than that, it wasn't
yeah,
there.
I mean, I'm sure injuries played a part in it, but also, like, he's probably just not good.
He may
and
not.
That happens.
I mean, it's tough. It's the NBA.
Like, we just, you know, exactly. It doesn't wait. It
right.
doesn't wait, you know, and you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
I'm watching, like, in the summer league last night, I was watching the Brooklyn-Orlando game, and you got Jarrett Culver out there playing summer league for
That's
the damn
crazy.
Magic.
And if you would have said Culver, you'd think great player.
I mean, was he not a top 10 pick?
I would think so.
I think he was. He was the sixth pick in the 2019 draft.
Wow.
And he's out there playing Orlando and sucking, by the way.
Well, like
and
a kid,
sucking.
You know what's interesting is a kid like Josh Minot. Where did he get picked?
He was second round.
Like another good example of now he is a rostered player. He was
mm-hmm.
picked 45th.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's on that damn Minnesota bench staring at games all the time now.
Yeah,
he's not playing summer league.
I mean, we say it all the time. Draft is an inexact science, right?
So weird, man.
It's an inexact science, and sometimes you know players just aren't good fits for your system. You know, sometimes they don't. They're not. I mean, we see Paxton wasn't a professional.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I would have bet for him. Like I was
for sure.
I was like, this is going to be awesome in Denver.
No question. And you know, sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes it just doesn't. I mean, he couldn't even beat out Trevor Siemian.
Now I will say, what we've learned is his coach was really really selling him good there.
His coach did a great job.
I mean, I give him props, man. Like
oh, Coach Fu, he tried to warn us, man. He did.
Fuente did a hell of a sales job on that one.
I remember I was there when Paxton declared for the draft at the facility, and I remember I'll never forget this. I remember talking to Coach Fuente afterward on the record, by the way.
Yeah.
And it, you know, you kind of expected him to just say like, yeah, we're super excited for Pax. He's going to be great.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, vouch for him like off the rip.
He was like, well, he's going to have to get more mature.
He did say that.
Yeah.
I remember your column on that.
Yeah, and so I think that was definitely like you look back on it now, like he knew exactly what the hell he was talking about.
Well, I think if I'm drafting a player, I don't, and especially in the top 10, I don't give a crap if it's the NFL draft or the NBA draft and there's only two rounds. Like, I do want my head coach going, this player is friggin' unbelievable. Like,
no doubt.
It's the best player you
no
could
doubt.
Ever possibly, you know, like.
Well, I think that's why he fell, quite frankly, Brad. I mean, he was, if you remember, he was projected.
Was it late
to go,
first?
He was projected. Yeah, he went late first. And the Broncos actually, I think, traded in to get him again.
Wow.
He was at one time mocked first. One time.
Never draft a player where the coach is lukewarm on their endorsement.
And again, shout out to Coach Wentham for being honest with those front offices, because, you know, he certainly could have not been that.
What would Penny have said on Minot? I'm sure he said amazing things, but he didn't play him that much in Memphis.
I'm sure he was asked, like, hey, why didn't
you play him?
Well, yeah, what was going on? I wonder what Penny's answer was. I had to get low Maximus. No, I'm just kidding. But it's an inexact science, and sometimes you take swings like the Grizzlies did with Zaire Williams, and it doesn't work out.
What would be your best memory of the Zaire Williams era with the Memphis Grizzlies?
I don't know. I think he hit like a three against the Warriors. I don't know. I mean, I don't really remember much, man. I just remember, you know, that was one where you saw it, and you were just like, kind of like Fuente's reaction about Paxton. I don't know. Like,
what solid impression, by the way.
Jeff Goodman, I'm looking up old tweets. Jeff Goodman tweeted on July 30th, 2021, most baffling draft, Memphis. Zaire Williams was a reach at 10. Has potential, is something the Grizz could use. Long and athletic wing, but there were other wings who could have helped now.
Yep.
John Martin must have made these picks.
Oh. Shots fired 3 years later.
And then he ended up. Well, no, he said that 2021.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You could do the revisionist, cold takes and retweet that and bombs away today, 3 years later.
Well, it turns out he was right. It was a baffling draft. I mean,
it was baffling. You didn't make the picks, though.
I did not.
No.
I did not make the picks, and I was not a fan. I was not a fan. I don't remember what I said. I think I probably would have said that it's – he's not good right now, but he
Reachy.
Could be, you know? Yeah, like, exactly. Like, they clearly saw something in his, you know, a tape that they loved, but, you know.
It would be hard for me not to draft, like, in the first round, outside of these projected studs. Like, that's why I think I like Dalton Connect so much, because I just feel like he'll be awesome, like, because he played 4 years of college basketball, and you just see it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm willing to put my paycheck on it more.
Yeah.
Whereas some of these guys, like, man, if your resume is like that, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, not 10th. So,
yeah.
Well, I hope he has a good run in Brooklyn.
The Zaire Williams era is over. Oh, real quick, I wanted to discuss this because there was a piece that Zach Lowe has up at ESPN. It's the same. It's the same.
Same follow. It's the NBA here.
Because it's sort of, you know, I guess somewhat related, right? Mm-hmm. But Zach Lowe has a piece up at ESPN where he talks about the most under-discussed NBA teams this offseason.
Oh.
And, of course, because Zach Lowe's a smart guy, he mentions the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, he talked about them on his podcast last week, probably for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I'll just read some of what he wrote. He said, I keep hearing how the first four seeds in the West belong to the Thunder, Timberwolves, Nuggets, and Mavericks. Suns tend to be mentioned next, followed by, things about the conference's aging California Lions. Did everybody forget about the Grizzlies? The Thunder probably sit in a tier of their own in terms of regular season projections, but the Grizzlies, presuming Ja can stay on the floor, should vault right back into the mix for a top four seed. They finished number two in two straight seasons before injuries, and Morant's 25-game suspension derailed them. The Morant, Bane, Jackson Jr. trio is a regular season wins machine. In Morant's absence, both Bane and Jackson stretched their offensive skill sets to their outer limits. That chipped away at their efficiency, but the experience will help with Morant back to restore the hierarchy. Smart should be the fourth starter and can run the show when Morant sits, replacing Tyus. With the final starting spot, Grizz can go smaller. They can go to giant or somewhere in the middle. They could even use multiple starting lineups depending on the opponent. Edie might prove ready to start, but there is some merit to letting him mash reserve units, many of which will not feature the kind of pick-and-roll marksman who might trouble Edie on defense. Regardless, they can still get him plenty of minutes setting brick wall screens for Morant. Memphis still has all of its own first-round picks plus some extra swap rights. Thanks to the Phoenix swaps on swaps on swaps on swaps Ponzi scheme, with Jackson on a declining contract and Morant having fallen short of the Supermax, the Grizz have some wiggle room to pounce when the time is right, either by trading for another expensive player or using the full mid-level exception, or maybe both.
Wow, so, that's a nice one.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all pretty obvious, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see if what kind of, things they can put together if they need to. But I'm pretty much in the camp of you get Ja, you get Desmond, you get Jaren back out there at the same time, you know, and it hasn't been that much, relatively speaking, relative to their times here with the franchise. you're going to have fun.
I like the sixth prediction. I think that's about right. Sixth, seventh?
Sixth, seventh in terms of what?
Order. That's when I listened to the podcast, he talked about this the other day.
Oh, well, he's talking about them in the mix for a four seed. I mean, which I
think that's right.
Oh, I think it's 100% right.
I could see him in a six.
I think they're going to be in the mix. I'm not saying they're going to get it, but I'm not
Zach
sold on Phoenix.
Zach thinks they're going to be a four.
I'm not sold on Phoenix. I'm not sold on Dallas. You know, and the Nuggets will be worse. That is a guarantee. Unless Christian Brown comes in and he just is amazing in his third season. Which I guess
possible.
Is possible. I mean, he's
very
made some
possible.
Strides,
he's showed,
but he's going to have to be because
yes.
They did not replace KCP. So, and they did not replace Bruce Brown from a year ago. So they lost two big time guys for their rotation. And I'm not sure exactly. Although they did draft Strother, who looked great in summer league, the former Gonzaga Bulldog, and they shut him down. They shut Strother down. He had like 32 in the second game.
God.
And so he may be...
That might be a good one.
He may be the next bench guy. I don't know. But again, questions. Well, questions, I would say. Whereas with the Grizzlies, the only question is not the player themselves. It's the availability, which, you know, I think it's a much easier one to answer if you ask me. So anyway, that's from Zach Lowe up at ESPN.com.
Next story.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Lakers played again last night.
Oh, good. I get this analysis. You're plugged in here, so we don't have to be.
I'm on the Bronny beat. Yep. I also had the Lakers plus +7.
Hey.
I had the Lakers plus +6 the night before.
Oh, you've been hitting.
Bronny been my hero.
Summer League is a sleeper moneymaker for you.
It is. It's getting tougher. It's getting tougher.
As we get late?
Yep. It's getting tougher. But
the line for the Grizzlies was high, and they still cleared it.
They sure did.
Woo! You know, well done.
I mean, the number was 10.
Yeah.
And real quick, the number was 10. And
we'll get to the Lakers here in a second.
And the Grizzlies have the ball. They're up 10. It's like 22 seconds left. Shot clock's off. And, of course, Hawkins fouls Scottie Pippen. And he goes 1 of 2. And it's 11. It falls 11.
Oh, my God.
Now, I
can't bet on that.
Let me ask you, why would Jordan Hawkins foul down 10?
Because he's being silly. And it's
22 seconds.
Fouls. It's like, stupid. That's dumb.
Wouldn't you just, like, let the game run?
Do we think that he's hedging and he's, like, throwing games or something?
DeJounte Porter?
Yeah. Is he?
I don't know, man. It was weird. It was weird.
you had an inquiry in.
I ain't gonna lie to you.
You were on the right side of it, it sounds like.
Even Sam Mitchell was like, did the Pelicans get the memo?
Is he point shaving?
Like, it's 10 with 22 seconds. Like, you're not coming back from this.
Right.
But anyway, Lakers played again last night, and Dalton Connect was out there for this one. He was not out there for the previous one against the Hawks. And, man, offensively, he looked amazing. Lakers win again. They've won two in a row now in Summer League. This one dramatic as well. But they get the win against the who was it? The Cavs. It was Amani Bates, the Cavs. Amani Bates had three straight threes. Brick, brick, brick. That man's jumper is as broke as it was at Memphis. It has not changed at all. But Dawson Connect was brilliant offensively. Bronny actually hit a huge three to keep him in the game there in midway through the fourth quarter, and has clearly, like, that he got that first one the other night, and he's confident now.
He turned it around for him.
Yeah, he looks capable, I would say. He looks capable.
Yeah, I mean, him and Connect. I mean, they were the ones who kind of won the game for him.
Definitely. I think Dawson Connect had 20.
Yep.
And then Bronny had, I think, 12. I believe that's what he finished with last night as well. Here's what I'll say about Dawson Connect, which does concern me about his season next year. He is getting absolutely cooked defensively.
Yeah, he can't defend.
He is getting cooked. Yeah. I mean, anybody and everybody. It don't matter. I mean, they had a dude out there named Darius Brown, who I think, I'm pretty sure, drives Amazon part-time. All right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know who that is. Never heard of him. I think he's an Amazon driver. Which is fine. But
those guys work hard.
I'm pretty sure, and yes, I'm appreciative, but I'm pretty sure he's either at the post office or he's driving Amazon trucks, okay? And he was cooking Dalton last night. So I think that is definitely going to be a problem for him because he can't guard. He just cannot guard. So that's going to be a challenge, I think, in terms of his playing time. As we've talked about with Bronny, he's going to be in the South Bay, as they say. He'll be in South Bay spend a lot of time there. But it was funny, like, the way that Corey Alexander put it. I didn't even think about it like this, but Bronny has to live up to his teammate's shadow, you know? Like,
that's tough.
Not even his dad. It's literally his teammate. Like, we've never seen it. We've never seen it. It will be an interesting dynamic, you know? I mean, and that's why it was coordinated and organized, right, and orchestrated. But yeah, the Lakers have shown a little life. They've shown a little bit of life.
I got to be careful here because I'm going game by game, and I think you fall into the trap of going game by game with these guys in the analysis of what you see on Bronny.
Right.
But I still tend to lean in the he's more South Bay than he is.
Oh, easily.
NBA.
No, no question. I mean, I'm not gonna
despite this game.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, this was just this is late in the summer league. Yeah. It's
like Zaire, who we just talked about. Like, he had good summer league games.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sitting here sort of trying to make this into something that it's not. It's just Bronny was having a disastrous summer league,
right,
and now he is playing better.
Yep.
You know, now he's showing that, okay, like, you look credible enough as a second-round pick, I suppose, you know, that you could justify the situation.
Right.
We know what it is. We don't have to pretend. J.J. Redick is going to keep playing charades, and we'll just sort of let him do that in his own time.
Yeah.
But he has shown better, which is good. Like I said yesterday, I'm rooting for the kid. I'm rooting for the kid because it's not necessarily something that he asked for. You know, he just wants to play basketball. He had the heart condition. I'm sure he wanted to have a better year at USC. Like, this is not exactly how he planned it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So the idea that he's found some confidence. I mean, crowd loves him. It's amazing. The crowd, like I told you yesterday, when he makes a shot, man.
It's all reaction to him.
It's like it really is. No. It's like the championship. The game seven.
Crazy.
You know, and that's awesome for him. You know, I mean, he seems, like I said, a good young man, a mature young man who's in a very, very, very difficult spot. And so in that regard, you know, I'm pulling for him. But Dauntz Connect, he's got the ratchet.
Sure.
He's got the ratchet.
He's got that.
This was
always the problem, though, even going into the
draft. Right. And it's why I'm going to be honest with you. It's why he was available at 17.
Right. Yeah.
Because
that's right.
There are a lot of guys that could score in the NBA. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys that could score in the NBA. But he is going to be a defensive liability for the Los Angeles Lakers. I have no doubt about that. Can he get better at it? Can he get competent? You know, possibly. But that's definitely number one that he's going to have. Because he was getting blown by. He was getting front. I mean, it was just like.
It's been a problem with Ja, though, too.
Yeah, it is. Now you have Jaren, you know.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, now you have Zach.
Right.
So you're hiding that a little bit. You know, will the Lakers be able to hide? And again, he's not even going to be featured probably. He's probably not even going to start. So he's going to be, he won't have AD in the back.
Right.
You know, he's going to have to figure that out. He's going to have to be able to contain. And I'm not sure, I'm not sold on him being able to do that. Anyway, that was last night in the Summer League. We'll come back. Calvin Austin III going to join us in studio. We'll talk to him about his training camp, his offseason, getting a chance to, you know, play with Russell Wilson, what that offseason's been like. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. Now we're back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. Calvin Austin III are going to join us around 115, 120, and we'll catch up with him on a lot of things, right? We'll talk to him about Memphis football's offseason. Let's see if he gets any FedEx back pay. We'll talk to him about his own offseason with the Steelers and training camp getting underway. You know, look, Steelers have a lot to protect this year. They got to protect that Mike Tomlin no losing streak.
Right.
No losing season streak. How many years are we on now? Like 18 or something like that?
I think so. I mean, let's give him an extension.
This is going to be the hardest one yet, I feel like.
Because of the quarterback situation, you think?
17. Yeah, 17 straight non-losing
seasons.
This
dude's figured stuff out, though. I mean, he's really good, and the defense is always strong.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But, I mean, you're in the toughest
division.
Yeah, you are. I mean,
it's rough.
You got the Browns.
You got
Deshaun Watson. You got Joe Burrow. You got Lamar Jackson. That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, and for Calvin, like, he's had, last year's regular season, 17 receptions, 30 targets, 180 yards, average 10. I mean, he's played well. He was hurt early.
Mm-hmm.
But the returns, I could see him being obviously a returner and getting some hits.
Yeah, he had that. Here's some trivia for you.
It was a playoff touchdown. Didn't he get a playoff touchdown?
I don't think they went to the playoffs last year. Maybe they did. Oh, they go to the, was against the Bills, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They went to the playoffs against
they lost 31-17. He had one, let's see, two targets, one reception, 7 yards. So he got a tutty.
And he got a touchdown on that one last year.
Who was his regular season touchdown against?
It was Buffalo. Well, he got the Buffalo one. Let me see the rate. So he scored a touchdown in that playoff game. That was his touchdown.
Is that true?
Yes. That was on January 15th. I remember it.
I did not remember that.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Because it was like, whoa, Calvin Austin just scored in a playoff game against Buffalo.
It was a catch?
I think so. Look at it on ESPN. If you click on Calvin Austin.
Yeah, he did. He sure did.
January 15th at Buffalo.
I see it now. How about that?
My guy.
His regular season touchdown was, believe it or not, his first career NFL touchdown.
Yeah.
Came against the Raiders.
Of course.
And it was a bomb. A 72-yarder. Yeah. A 72-yard bomb against the Raiders. Then, of course, like, the problem with it, like, honestly, if you're Calvin, if you're any receiver for the Steelers last year, all that sort of back and forth, right? Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph. Mm-hmm. Like, they were going back and forth between those guys all year long. So it was impossible.
Yeah.
It was going to be impossible to develop any kind of chemistry. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know Tomlin, he's talked about Calvin and likes.
He does. He has.
Publicly.
I think Calvin is Tomlin is a Calvin guy.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's why he's there.
Yep.
You know, because
in the fourth round,
it's like you can sort of see, you know, he has a vision for Calvin Austin. And so, you know, that's why he is there. I did see, while we're on the subject of the NFL, I saw that J.J. McCarthy earlier this morning agreed to a four-year, fully guaranteed contract worth $21.8 million. That includes a $12.7 million signing bonus and a fifth-year team option. And what's amazing is that you have 4 years with a top 15, top 10 draft pick quarterback at an average of less, you know, about basically $5 million a year. Right.
I mean, you have to have those deals if you're going to take shots at this thing.
So if J.J. McCarthy is fantastic
and
he's fantastic early on, then there is no question that the Vikings will be in contention for a Super Bowl. I know that seems crazy.
He has to be awesome, though.
He has to be awesome. But if he is, then they'll be in a contention for a Super Bowl. Because all that money that they would have to slide over to a quarterback that was awesome.
Yeah.
They don't have to.
You know, the problem is, though, if they're good, the money goes up and all these guys
eventually
hold out. We've seen it with Dak. We've seen it all these cats.
No, it will in 4 years.
Yeah.
But he's under a 4-year contract right now.
I know.
So you have a window. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I follow you.
You have a 4-year window
The Chiefs had this with Mahomes.
They did, and then they didn't. I mean, it was, you know.
What I'm saying, it moves.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was not the starter to sort of start his career. It probably was his second year because they had Alex Smith. But really, it's more so like guys like Jalen Hurts, you know, who started their career, as backups and ultimately, you know, took the job. But you get, you know, 3 to 4 years and after.
Save a little dough there.
Yeah, a lot, honestly, because, I mean, look up quarterback contracts. Yeah. Look up Jared Goff's contract.
It's stupid.
I mean,
Goff got paid.
Yeah, dude, Goff makes a ton of money.
Stupid.
And like, would you say, you know,
Goff is at $53 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a very good quarterback, right? He had 30 touchdowns last year, 4,500 yards. But those are basically C.J. Stroud numbers.
Yeah, and L.A. didn't want him. That's what's wild about it.
And C.J. Stroud contract is a fraction of. I mean, it's 4 years, 36, right?
That draft pick was awesome.
Oh, Stroud was
that is crazy.
Yeah, no, he's a beast. He's
so, and that's why they're drafting so many quarterbacks early, because if you hit. Like, if you hit one of these top 10 picks, you save immediately if they're your starter.
No, that's the idea. I mean, that's the way it's going. You know, like, you're seeing more and more, you know, like, Drake May is going to get opportunities.
Absolutely.
You're doing your organization a disservice if you don't put the quarterback out there early.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it used to be, like, guys sat.
Right.
Like, Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Love sat behind Aaron Rodgers. You know, you've seen examples of this, you know, all throughout the NFL, but you don't have the time or the cap space to do that anymore.
Well, and I think it's why everybody was bitching about what happened in Atlanta with them, you know, going and getting Penix.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, think about it this way. Like, let's say that, you know, Kirk Cousins' contract is 4 years, $180 million. I don't know what the guarantee is, but let's call it 80, which is... 20, you know, he's $80 million bucks out of your pocket. He's got $180 million contract. You'd cut his ass if Penix pans out. You would.
He got 100. He got 100 guaranteed. So he got $180 million $50 million signing bonus and $100 million guaranteed.
So they paid him a lot.
So I believe that. So I think the signing bonus is separate of the guaranteed money, correct?
Right.
So that's so they only owe him $30. I mean, they paid him $150. So they paid
that's
the
crazy
majority
money.
Of
well,
this,
Well, my
right?
point is wrong then.
That's why the Penix one was a little more confusing.
That is,
because
that is baffling. I didn't realize that that was that much guaranteed money.
A, Michael Penix is older already. Like, he's already 24.
They drafted him eighth.
And you draft him eighth, and you... Like, Kirk is not going to go away after a year. Like, if you're doing this right, that's, I mean, it's a
you're,
four...
You're right. I'm wrong about this.
It's a four-year deal, so you're going to have to basically, like... I mean, I don't know what the... I don't know what the...
The Falcons, man.
You know...
Point taken here. I got what you're saying.
The idea, though, is to, like, say you have, like, a bridge QB, right? Say you have, like, a Teddy Bridgewater or a... you know, he's retired now, but, like, a... who's the guy? Jacoby Brissett.
Okay.
You know, and you don't have a great answer, right? Like the Raiders would have been a perfect, you know, if they had a pick in the top 10, they would have done something like this, right? But they didn't, so they couldn't. But you would take a young quarterback and you would say go out there and either sink or swim. And if you swim,
well, they got Minshew though.
Minshew's awful.
You hate Minshew.
He's terrible. He's terrible.
he got Colts in the playoffs.
The Shane no, they didn't make it. They were close. They didn't make it though.
They were close.
Shane Steichen got the Colts close to the playoffs.
Okay,
not Minshew.
I like Minshew, but I mean, I understand what you're saying though.
He's not your guy. He's not a good quarterback. No. I mean, he's a very very low ceiling. Like, you know what right. you're getting from him.
Sure.
Every time he tries to actually like do something outside of the scheme, it's been an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
But you draft a young guy, you put him in there, and you say sink or swim. And if he swims, you'll have a window to compete in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just true. Because the reason is you can use the money that you would have earmarked for a quarterback putting up big numbers like that. You would use that then on a defensive end,
right.
on a defensive back. On a receiver, on other positions of need that, you know, you can sort of, you're kind of stealing a little bit because you're not having to pay. This guy's on a rookie deal. Now, he's going to get an extension probably that third year. He's going to want one. But you, at the very least, could have 3 years.
Right.
You could have 3 years, you know, before, you know, you're having to, before that money kicks in on the new quarterback. And you can do it. I mean, you know, again, the Chiefs just did it.
Yep.
You know, Mahomes got his third. You know, he got was second, right?
Yeah.
Second or third? Third appearance, second Super Bowl. He just got you know, his second Super Bowl. But you know, it might be the outlier.
Well, the salary cap is outrageous, though. It's $255 million. It was an increase of $30 million. It's the largest single season increase, this is Bleacher Report, since 94. So they're trying to get that thing up, because they know these quarterbacks are going to be out of the cap. If you get a good quarterback now, Goff proved this. Even if you're serviceable, like, you're going to get fit. You're getting $50 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, basically.
No, he did get three, by the way. Mahomes got three.
That was his third.
He beat the 49ers. That's right. He beat the 49ers, and he lost the Bucks, and he won two in a row.
God.
So he's already got three. That's the outlier, though. I mean, Mahomes is like one of the greatest ever.
That's crazy.
You know, he's already proven that.
My point is, if most of the good quarterbacks are getting one, two, three, four, five, they're getting a fifth of your salary cap.
Oh yeah,
a fifth.
I mean, that's, and you have, you know, X number.
One fifth is going to
one
the
player.
Dude throwing the ball.
One player.
And what if he's nicked up? Then you're screwed.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, we saw that right with the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean.
You're done.
You just have no chance. And, you know, look, so that's the thing. It's like you have such a small window to operate in the NFL before, you know. And, again, you got to pay the quarterback.
Sure.
You got to pay the quarterback. But, like, what ends up happening is you have situations like Dallas where you pay the quarterback and it's like, man, we're not good enough.
He's not good enough.
Breaking through because, you know, we've had this a lot, so much money towards him, and he's good, and we like having him, but he's not. He's not getting us over the top. And maybe there were some positions that if Dak was a rookie, we could, like, go get some guys that get us over the top. You know what
What's
I mean?
What's wild is Dallas would rather have Jared Goff. I mean, serviceable, wins playoff games.
I think they would rather have, you know, somebody like a C.J. Stroud, you know, who's on that rookie deal as opposed to. Like,
that would be perfect.
Dak and Goff are, like,
Everybody would like C.J. Stroud, though. Like, he's one of one.
Like, they might actually want Bryce Young instead of Dak Prescott.
I think anybody put Dak at this point.
Just because of, again, the money deal, right? Like, it's all about the money. And
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.